I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Outside, this is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, I was in such a rush to get us to the news update on the half hour, I forgot to say at the end of our last segment, it's Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark.com, and I'm only assuming, Mark, because I haven't been on there in the last couple of days, that you've been posting some things along the way. Yeah or no?
We have, especially on our Facebook account, and then you'll see some stuff on our blog as well if you go to Road Trippin' with Bob and Mark.com.
Or should I just say A instead of yeah?
Yeah.
A?
Yeah. You know, the people of Canada have just been fantastic, and I love just the way sometimes we hear some of those things, the way they talk up here. It's, we've got our own things down there in Utah, but it's a wonderful people.
Yeah. All right, before we get to the e-bike thing, and I know we're going to talk about some of your top picks, both Bob and Mark, with your fall drives, which are starting to happen right now. Can we just ask real quick, Mark, about any hassles there were getting into Canada? Unfortunately, Canadians still are not free to come down this way, I don't think, are they?
That's correct. In fact, we've talked to a variety of Canadians. That's driving. They cannot drive across the border. They can fly. So they can come if they fly, but they can't drive. It's an interesting dynamic.
Which makes no sense at all, but anyway.
Right, right. Well, we had to not only be, of course, vaccinated, but we had to have the vaccination card. Then we had to get a test 72 hours before we crossed the border and show that test at the border. And now Canada has come up with a new app that you have to fill out before you cross the border that they say is all over the internet. We looked, and it's not, but it's new, and you have to fill that information out before you cross as well. So some real things to just take care of, but you can cross, and we're one of the few Americans, we think, in Canada right now.
Yeah. Did you have to be tested again 48 hours after you got there or no?
No.
Okay. I had heard that rumor, and I'm glad that's not the case. All right. Bob, you and I had this conversation, I think, when we were down doing the Bryce Canyon trip, where we also went on the, help me.
Zion Narrows.
Zion Narrows, on the Narrows walk there. About e-bikes, this is something you've been looking at, but man, I'm really intrigued by the one that Mark's riding around. Which ones have you been looking at, though, Bob?
Well, I mean, Adam was down at Big Mountain Lodge not too long ago, he brought one of his sponsors, Stedman's, with him, and they had some e-bikes with him. And I don't remember the manufacturer, but these were high-end. These were like $7,000 bikes, and I was salivating. They're mountain bike frames. They're heavy, but boy, I tell you, they are fun to ride. You know, I've always been a cycling purist. I've been a road cyclist for many years and was in a club and a team. And
yeah.
And I just couldn't look at an e-bike as being a real bike. But the first time I got on one, I was sold.
Age will make those more attractive to you, by the way.
They do. It's just like, you know, UTVs also, you know, I've been a hiker now. UTVs seem very attractive to me, but I like the Pizarri. I think Pizarri puts out a really nice e-bike in a mountain bike frame. And so I'd love to test one of those out, but that's what I want to get is a mountain bike frame. Cause you know, Mark and I live really close to some of the premier mountain bike trails in the state. Now, here in the St. George area.
Now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, since you own a version of an e-bike here, you can pedal all of these things if you want to, or you can engage the assist, right?
That's right. You know, you just engage the assist, and while you're pedaling, it actually helps you up the trail, but you still get the pedaling action. You still get some of the exercise. And there's just a button right there. You turn that button off, and you're pedaling by yourself and getting all the exercise you want. You want some help, you just turn it back on.
Yeah. And tell us the brand that you have, because the one you were doing the video on, you fold the handlebars down and these things just lay right in the trunk of your car.
That's right. You just pop the seat off as well. You know, it's just a easy release on the seat, and fold the handlebars over, stick it in the trunk of your car, pull it out. It weighs probably 35 pounds. It's a small, it's more of what you'd call an it's an e-bike, full-on e-bike, but it's more scooter size.
Yeah.
And it's got the smaller wheels. It's got disc brakes. It's got cruise control on the doggone thing. So you press the button and it holds your, and it goes. But it's only $375. I bought it myself at Costco. It's not a sponsored bike.
Nice.
And it is something that it's called a Jetson. So there's one option. It's less expensive. It's easy to haul around. And if you don't think you're going to be riding a ton and you're not going to be doing what Bob and I would like to do, and that is get out on these trails, then it's perfect for paved trails and roads.
Yeah. All right. A couple of good ideas. I just wanted to plant that seed, and maybe somewhere down the road we'll get Fazari on and we'll talk to the guys down there about it. I haven't talked to them in a while, so it'd be great to get their input. All right. Let's shift gears now and talk about the fall drives. I don't, you know, sometimes we wait a little too long for this, and once the colors start to change, Bob, it doesn't take long for the whole thing to kind of go away. You get a real peak in the color, and then just like that, it's gone. So direct us towards some of the better drives here in Utah.
Yeah, so we'll go from north to south, and we'll just name a couple of them. These are all well-known places. I mean, they're mainstays like Logan Canyon from Logan to Bear Lake. Start in Brigham City. Sardine Canyon's very beautiful.
Oh.
That whole drive from Brigham City to Bear Lake is just a gorgeous drive. It's a great way to spend an afternoon.
The reds through there are just amazing.
They are. Those hills look like they're on fire when those really come out, all those oaks and with the aspens blended in. It's just a, yeah, it's a beautiful place. Then, you know, a little bit further south into Ogden Canyon, going up into Ogden Valley, you know, into Huntsville, Monte Cristo. I mean, gosh, that old Snowbird, the Snow Basin Road to Snow Basin Resort, that is just a gorgeous drive. That area, too, is just on fire with color. Coming down a little bit further into the Salt Lake area, take an afternoon, go from Park City in the Heber Valley, Midway, those hills too, in the Wasatch State Park. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Going down Provo Canyon and then take the drive up by Sundance over Alpine Loop into American Fork. That's one of the premier fall drives, not just in Utah, but anywhere in the West. You could call that New England of the West. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, just,
and
just
a narrow road.
Yeah, I was going to say, expect that it will take you a while to get through there because when it is at its peak, it is a popular one and it's slow going.
It is very slow. I just drove our 15 passenger Sprinter Mercedes van down that road.
Yikes.
With my group, and I was starting to think, I wonder if this was a mistake.
Yeah.
But we made it.
That's Mokey.
John Moose along the way.
Mokey Dugway all over again.
Yeah, yeah. It turned out okay.
That's good.
You know, Mark.
Nebo Loop, Bob, is a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to mention, you know, Mark mentioned a couple of the ones that are down here in the southern part of the state.
Well, you know, if you go over to the eastern side of the state, you've got the Abajo Mountains by Monticello. That's incredible. This time of year, of course, the Mantilla Sals by Moab. And even in central Utah, you got the Mantilla Sals by Farron. We like that one a lot. And then the Boulder Mountains from Torrey all the way down to towards Panguitch. Beaver up on the mountain range up above Beaver City. And then Cedar, Highway 14 to 143. Those are all ones we love.
Yeah, we had Maria Twitchell on from the Cedar. Let's see, what are they called? At the Cedar City Brian Head Travel Council, I guess is what it is, talking about some of the great fall drives down there right now.
Oh, yeah. Highway 143 between Parowan and Panguitch. That, you know, I lived in at Brian Head for a number of years. That drive, they've had a fire through there, so there's some of it's a little bit burned out now. But that drive is consistently great. Mark and I had a great experience up there a couple of years ago shooting fall colors on 143 and then on 14, Highway 14 between Cedar and Duck Creek Village in the Navajo Lake area. It was just a really wonderful area for aspen trees that not only turn yellow and gold, but they go red and orange as well.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that you guys have dedicated a fair amount of time on the website to these drives, haven't you? Mark, jump in here.
Well, I know Bob's working on an updated blog for that'll be visible, and then we have some other posts that we've done in the past. And you'll have some stuff on the Canada as well that we'll have posted.
All right. And the place to go, of course, is just roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com. When you coming home, Mark? Maybe never.
I think about the end of the month, I'll be crossing the border again, and it's much easier coming that direction into the USA. So looking forward to the opportunity to get back into the country and then back into northern Utah a week later than that, maybe.
All right, Mark, we're going to let you go. Bob, can you hang with me for the camp spot coming up here in a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because I found a spot that I thought would be fun for people to find out about. Come to find out that Bob actually already knows about it, and he's been there. It's Beach Camp at Lake Powell's Lone Rock Beach. That.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's time for our camp spot of the week this week.
Going camping feels good. Camping here in the woods. Camping makes me sing. Oh, how I love to go.
In our little theme song there brings to mind, Bob Grove, that sometimes we think camping is only up in the high country with pine trees surrounding you and a river running through the back part of the property or whatever. There are a lot of great ways to go camping in the state of Utah. One is out in the desert, and I found one that was listed. I don't know if you're familiar with a place called White House Campground. Have you heard
of
that?
Is that near Kanab?
It is.
Is that the one that's by Kanab?
Yeah. And it's down into Pariah Canyon, I think, down there, right around the Vermilion Cliffs.
Oh, yeah, that's a really amazing backcountry area. I'm not real familiar with the campsite itself, but I know the area, the Paria River and the Paria Canyon is just some of Utah's and northern Arizona's most beautiful red rock, white rock areas.
Yeah,
that's
did
not
I
far
say-
from where the wave is.
Did I say Pariah or did I say Paria?
Paria. Paria.
Paria Canyon.
Yeah, it depends on what side of the tracks you live.
Yeah. I'm obviously from the other side of the tracks. There are not many sites down there. There's five walk-in sites. They're only $5 a night, but those that have been there say it's really clean bathrooms. They've got grilled fire pit picnic tables in each site, and it's surrounded by a lot of beautifully sculpted and colored sandstone, obviously, in that part of the of the state, and it's close to things like the Wave, which you can't just walk in there. You got to have a very elusive lottery ticket. But Buckskin Gulch is also nearby.
Yeah, Buckskin Gulch. If you go further down the road and get to White Pocket, the Toadstools. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. A lot of people who come out with the hope of getting into the lottery for the Wave who don't get in. You know, they're not going to be shortchanged. There's so many other places to go see in that really close, concentrated area.
Yeah. The timing of when you go do that is important because it can be downright hot. When we went on our motorcycle ride, we passed through there after going to the Grand Canyon on our way to Colorado. It was 105 degrees crossing that road, which was a little uncomfortable with leather on riding a quote-unquote air-cooled engine on top of a Harley.
Yeah, you picked probably one of the hottest times of the year to make that drive. But yeah. Now's a good time to go.
Perfect. Here's another idea. I mentioned it. It's the Lone Rock Beach. Doing a little beach camping at Lake Powell. No reservations needed. You drive right onto the beach and pick a spot or sleep in your car. You can enjoy fiery sunsets and some beautiful sunrises. Tell everybody where to get there. I didn't realize you'd actually done this.
It's just slightly north of the Utah-Arizona state line on Highway 89, south of Big Water. So you pass through Big Water. Right before you get to the state line, you're going to see a road that goes off to Lone Rock. There'll be a sign there. Just take that. You can drive all the way down to the beach. The water's pretty low now, so I bet the beach is pretty big.
Yeah, no kidding. So,
but yeah, I see campers. This is where we often take customers to go kayaking, is to Lone Rock. And there's often people setting up the tents in that area, that beach area. So yeah, it's a great place if you want to be near the water edge and on a sandy surface.
Well, this time of year, particularly as we get into October, it still might be a little early, but in October, the water is still warm. The air is cool. You don't have the same crowds you had before because kids are back in school. For all of those reasons, this is attractive. I said no reservations. You should know there is a $10 fee to get onto the beach. There will be people doing things like launching jet skis and things. But what a great way just to have a $10 night in a tent with a view, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And September is my favorite month at Lake Powell. Like you said, the water is warm. The temperature is still very comfortable. This is the perfect time to be down there. Whenever we plan a Lake Powell trip, a houseboat trip, that's generally in the month of September.
Yeah. All right. When's your next road trip?
I leave next Wednesday, going on a 10-day Grand Circle tour. We'll hit 7 national parks, a bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's a really highly concentrated tour that covers a ton. And so I'll be doing 2 more of these 10-day tours, and then my season's over.
Mm. Well, then you can settle in for the holiday season or get some skis and come up here and stay with us for a couple of days.
Oh, I'd say we need to go visit Roger this winter and do some snowmobiling.
That too! Thank you so much, Bob Grove, for spending so much time with us today. Again, Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.com. We'll look forward to seeing your postings on an updated list of some of those fall drives. Thank you, buddy.
You bet. Go Utes.
Go Utes. Stay right there. The Greenhouse Show is coming up next, right after ABC News at the top of the hour. When we come back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.